We continue this morning in our sermon series, which makes quite a negative declaration. The sermon series is entitled, "You Don't Have What It Takes." And here we are this morning on the second negative declaration. But as I mentioned last week, don't worry. In the gospel, in the scriptures, it's always a transition from bad news to good news. And this morning is no exception. So as we prepare our hearts to hear God's word, let us bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we recognize that life is difficult. There are challenges we face that are beyond our control, remedies beyond our reach. And so we need you. We need you to come alongside, to help us to think biblically, to give us strength for the journey, to help us overcome in the day of trial. So I pray, Lord, that as we examine your word, you would speak to our hearts and to our current situations, giving us grace sufficient for the day. Through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. There are certain statements which I have found to be universally true. And the sermon title for this morning is one of them. And I've heard this statement from many of you, and I'm the type of person who I've parroted this statement to many people. It's the notion, you can't please everyone. Have you ever used that phrase yourself? We all know it to be true. It's one of those undebatable statements. You can't please everyone. I'm mindful of this as a pastor of a congregation where I feel instinctively I want to please everyone. I want everyone to come here and to be encouraged by what happens, to be pleased with all our decisions and all our directions. I'm constantly wanting to please all of you. And then someone will come along and rightly say, "Bryn, you can't please everyone." And I agree. I understand that. But I'm wired in such a way that I have people-pleasing tendencies. Friends, Christmas is closer than we would like to imagine. And our people-pleasing tendencies, if you have any of this within you, they become acute during Christmas time. You're trying to juggle. Am I going to see this member of my family or that member of my family? Or these members of my family live far away. How am I going to get to all of them? Will I drive north on Christmas Day and south on Boxing Day? And can I get to my aunt's house on the 27th? And if we're married, we've got another family to attend to. Friends, it's a complicated thing to please everyone. But many of us try. Many of you will try this Christmas to make the right meal, to choose the right present, to make good decisions about those whom you wish to visit with. But you also know the statement is true. You can't please everyone. Now I want us to think beyond Christmas. And I want you to think of the areas of your life, the context in your life, where you find yourself trying to meet the needs of others. Areas of your life where you're seeking to bring pleasure and where your desire to please someone is dominating your energy. Because I think all of us to some degree have people-pleasing instincts within us. And it is a spectrum. It's not a yes or no thing. It's a matter of degrees. But I want to set before you three characteristics of a people-pleasing person. And this will help you to measure where on the spectrum you lie. The first characteristic of a people-pleasing person is you have a heightened fear of disappointing others. You have a heightened fear of disappointing others. Now we could illuminate this by thinking of the opposite. The opposite is a person who says, "I don't care what they think. I don't care what others will say when I do this thing." But the people-pleasing person says, no, I care deeply, and I'm fearful. The worst thing that can happen is that I could do something that would disappoint another, that I would do something that would upset someone close to me. You have a heightened fear of disappointing. The second characteristic of a people-pleasing person, that's a tongue twister, isn't it? The second characteristic of a people-pleasing person is you find it difficult to articulate what you want. You have difficulty articulating what you prefer. Now let me paint a scenario for you. Whether it's realistic or not, I don't know. You decide. There's six of you gathered together one evening, and you determine to order a pizza, something that I'm very fond of doing. So you have six people together, and someone asks the question, well, what do we want on our pizza? There's someone who's going to say, I don't want anything spicy. I don't want ham. I must have mushrooms. And somebody's going through the whole litany, setting the boundaries for the rest of you. And then there's another person who says, oh, I don't care. I'll take anything. You just put on the pizza, whatever you like. If you want your anchovies and pineapple on the same pizza, that's fine. In a context like that, we'll see that some people find it very easy to say what they want, what they prefer, what they'd like to see happen. Others sit back and they won't say what they want. They really don't want a pizza with pineapple and anchovies together, but they have an inability, they don't have the capacity to say what they want because on the people-pleasing spectrum, they score very high. The third characteristic of someone who is a people-pleaser is someone who is, and this is probably the most obvious, it's someone who has a hard time saying no. A people-pleasing person, saying no is very, very difficult. And this is problematic for us who lead pretty saturated lives with very full daytimers, and someone comes along and says, can you help me with this? Or in a church setting, can you join this committee? Or can you help me with this event? And a people-pleasing person has great difficulty saying no, and so they tend to overcommit themselves. So with those characteristics in place, I want you to take inventory this morning. It's not a matter of yes or no, where yes, you're a people-pleaser, or no, you're not. Think of it as a spectrum, 0 to 10. 10 is you have those characteristics to the nth degree, a fear of disappointing others. You won't say what you want or prefer. And what's that third one? You have a hard time saying no. You tend to overcommit. 0 is you don't give a rip about what others think. You don't care at all. And you find that it's an easy thing to say what you want. And you say no to things all the time. Where are you on the spectrum? To what degree are you marked by people-pleasing tendencies? So now I want you to hit the pause button. And I want us to consider this question. Does God expect you to try and please everyone? What does the Bible have to say about this? Because this is a part of our everyday life. Whether we're at home, whether we're at work or school or a place of business, wherever we are, we face these decisions. Am I going to overcommit? Am I going to say what I want? Am I going to lend a hand? Am I going to cater to this person's articulated needs? These are things that are relevant every day of our life. Does God expect us to please everyone? You might be pleased to hear this morning that as I survey the New Testament, I do not see a mandate to please everyone. There is no commandment that says you must cater to those around you, to their every whim, as capricious as they might be. Yes, the Bible says love your neighbor as yourself. To some, that's a challenge to love your neighbors more. To others, that commandment is a limitation, a healthy limitation, where you don't love your neighbor beyond yourself. You don't love your neighbor to the detriment of yourself, but you love your neighbor as yourself in proportion to the amount that you love yourself. No, the Bible doesn't give a mandate to cater to others at the expense of yourself. Trying to please everyone, yes, it might be a futile exercise, but I don't want you to think of it as a foolish thing or a sinful thing. I think the shortcoming of being a people-pleasing person is this, is it tends to reveal that we have a skewed focus. The Apostle Paul tells us both in his letter to the Galatians and in his letter to the Thessalonians. Paul tells these communities that I'm not here first for you. I'm not trying first to please you. I'm here to please God. Now, it's not that Paul was insensitive. It's not that he didn't care about these communities. Paul championed the cause of putting others above yourself. Paul championed the cause of showing compassion towards others. But at the end of the day, Paul understood that his first loyalty was to God, and his second loyalty was to God's people. And this helps us to bring people-pleasing into focus. People-pleasing ought not to rule and govern our lives. But as Paul says, pleasing God ought to be our chief priority. This ought to be the thing that governs all our actions in a day. It's not what's going to please my spouse or my neighbor or my children or my grandchildren. The question is, will this honor my Father in heaven? And this was a message Jesus constantly gave. You might remember in the Gospels that Jesus actually encouraged his followers to do their good deeds in secret, in private, if they were fasting, if they were praying, if they were giving money. Don't let anyone see you, Jesus said. Because your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Friends, this ought to be our mindset, that we're not looking to be noticed by our family or our friends or those in our neighborhood. We're looking to be noticed by God. We're looking to catch His attention so that He would see that He has become the first priority in our life. Perhaps for some of you, your people-pleasing tendencies are so acute, you don't know how you're going to suppress them. And I admit that's a challenge. As your pastor, as someone who deeply wants to please and encourage other people, I get how difficult it is. But I'm not asking you to stop trying to please other people. I'm asking you to stop being ruled by that. Because if you're like me, you're going to go the rest of the days of your life trying to please your loved ones, trying to please your friends. Some of you, if you're wired like me, you just can't get away from that. So what can we do? It's a matter of priority. It's placing pleasing God ahead of pleasing others, that it trumps pleasing others. And because it's a true statement that we all agree that you can't please everyone, I want to tell you that the priority of pleasing God helps you to sleep at night. It helps keep your conscience in good shape. Because you go to bed at night thinking about those individuals that you've inevitably disappointed. People maybe you've even upset. People who are angry at you. You can't please everyone. You know it. You've experienced it. What gets you to sleep at night? To know that God is pleased with you. To know before you and God that you have done your best to honor Him first and to honor your family and loved ones second. Frankly, I couldn't survive if I did not place as my priority pleasing God. because it breaks my heart when I upset others. And believe me, in the course of my life, in the course of 36 years, I have disappointed a lot of people. And that upsets me deeply. It breaks my heart. But at the end of the day, I recognize I can't please everyone. But my Lord, am I seeking to honor Him? He knows my frailty. He knows my imperfect ways. He also knows my good intentions. Friends, you've heard that saying, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I believe that is an utterly false statement. I believe our intentions are everything. I think the deep-seated motivations of our heart mean everything to God. He cares deeply, not about the outcome or the performance or our success in pleasing everyone. He cares most deeply about our motivations and what we're aiming to do. In other words, friends, I want to caution you. Don't measure yourself by the delight you give to others. Don't measure yourself by the disappointment you cause. Measure yourself by whether you are pleasing God. Because the other way is a roller coaster. We've all probably been on that ride, and it's not fun. We measure ourselves by the delight of others, and we're sky high. We measure ourselves by the disappointment we cause, and we sink low, maybe even into a deep depression. That's a roller coaster ride that no one should be on. Measure yourself by whether you are seeking to please God and to make pleasing God your chief priority. Okay, Bryn, we get that. Our first priority, our first responsibility is to please God. But please, we do live as a community. We live in a neighborhood. We belong to a congregation. We're part of our family. We want to please God first. Okay, what is our obligation to one another? How ought we to be treating one another? Well, I'm glad you asked. Our obligations to one another are many, and they're varied. But as I look at the New Testament, two in particular stand out above the rest. At all times, whatever the cost, at all times our obligation is to love one another. Our obligation is to pursue peace with one another. No, we can't please everyone. We can't control how others respond to us. But we have control over what we do. We can't control whether what we say or do is responded positively or whether there's a negative response. But we can control what we give. And so the Bible says, don't worry necessarily about how you are received. Make sure you're loving. Make sure you're pursuing peace. Are there any exceptions to this? There are no exceptions to this. Jesus says, love your enemies. I think that's an important thing. Jesus doesn't say in the New Testament, turn your enemies into your friends. Imagine how difficult a commandment that would be. If Jesus said, perfection lies, maturity lies, growth and grace lies in your ability to turn enemies into friends. I'm so thankful Jesus never said that. Because many of us, if we have relationships that are frayed, if we have people in our life who are estranged, we've come to grips with the fact that we can't win them over. We don't have the ability to change the way they feel about us. But we still have the ability to love. We don't have to give in to bitterness. We don't have to give in to anger or hate. Jesus says, your enemies don't have to become your friends, but you need to love them. So far as it depends upon you, Paul says, be at peace with everyone. And there's a clause in there. There's a qualifier in there. Because peace takes two groups of people. peace takes two parties. But for the follower of Jesus, we ought to be the ones pursuing peace and not resisting peace. Friends, I worry that there might be people who bear the name of Jesus Christ who resist peace, who harbor bitterness. We're not called to turn our enemies into friends. We're called to love our enemies. We're called to pursue peace at all times. And I love the imagery Paul uses in the reading you heard from Colossians 3. He uses the imagery of putting on a garment. Paul says, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. I want us to take a moment, and I want us to dwell on those virtues. Because I've said all along, we can't control how others hear us. We can't control how others respond to us. We can only control what we do and say to others. To what degree have you clothed yourself with these qualities? Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bound together in love. Friends, you might be sitting there thinking, Bryn, you don't know my situation. And I don't. You might be saying, you don't know the harm that another has caused me, the offense that has been given. Bryn, if you only knew what that person did to me, you wouldn't ask me to be clothed with compassion or kindness or humility or patience or love. If you only knew the sin, you would say this is an exception. But as I read the New Testament, I just don't see any exceptions. From the same passage in Colossians 3, this is what Paul says. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. I love that because Paul's anticipating conflict here. Such a verse wouldn't exist in Scripture if Paul didn't imagine or have already experienced that people within the community of God are sometimes at odds with one another. And so anticipating conflict, anticipating disagreements, he says, forgive. What kind of grievances? Whatever grievances you may have against one another. And again, maybe you hold tightly, but Paul doesn't know what's happened to me. Paul doesn't know the harm. Paul doesn't know the offense. But then he says this, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Do you see the link there? Our standing as a follower of Jesus is on the foundation of Jesus Christ forgiving us and giving us His righteousness. Our standing before God is secure only to the degree that Christ forgives us. And if you're at all like me, there's a lot of things you need to be forgiven for. Forgive others as the Lord has forgiven you. Because the Lord's forgiven the unforgivable in Bryn McPhail, I must forgive the unforgivable in others. There's nothing that's been done to me that's worse than what I've done to the Lord. And knowing that, we must forgive everyone. We must pursue peace at all times, with all people, at whatever the cost. We must love our enemies. And where will this take us? Friends, this takes us further along the road as a follower of Jesus. Jesus says time and time again, follow me. And maybe you say, what does that mean? What does that include? What does that entail? To be on the road with Jesus is to forgive as He forgives. to forgive the unforgivable, to love the unlovable, to pursue peace with those who want to be at odds with you. That's the road to being with Jesus. We've said that our priority ought to be pleasing God. This is what pleases God. You can't please everyone. I want to give you some sobering news this morning. Probably 2008 will not end without you disappointing a bunch more people, offending a few more people, saying the wrong thing, doing the wrong thing, being misinterpreted, received the wrong way. You can't please everyone. You won't please everyone. Seek to please your Father in heaven, and that will console you when you disappoint others. But love generously. Don't give up trying to please others. Just don't be governed by it. Love generously. And pursue peace with everyone in your life. Because this is what is entailed in being a follower of Jesus. It's not an easy road, but it's a blessed road. It's a wonderful thing to be able to lay your head down at the pillow at night and know that even though I said the wrong thing or was received the wrong way, that the Lord knows my intentions. He knows my motivations. Friends, as you go out from this place this afternoon, I want to encourage you, try to please others. That's not wrong. But know that you won't all of the time. But what should govern you is the notion of, does God approve? Is God for me? And if He is, we will sleep well, and we will be inspired and refreshed day by day to love one another generously. All for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen.